This is the When We Relate podcast with your host, Will Fleming.
This podcast is a place for regular folks like you and me to talk about life, music, entertainment, faith, sports, and everything in between. The purpose is simple: to show the world that the more we talk, the more we all see how much we actually relate in different ways. Yes, 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 yes. Welcome to the When We Relate podcast. I am your host, Mr. Will Inspire. My family knows me by William Fleming. Will Inspire to everybody else. We are joined by my man Q. Q Max, Quinn Max in the building. What's up, brother?
Yes, sir. Happy to be back. Feeling real co-hostish right now.
Hey, I think we got to make this official at some point, bro. I mean, you've now joined us for like four episodes. So yeah. Like, it's kind of official.
We got to get some cowbell, some flex, dropping bombs.
You know what I'm saying? Let me see what I can do. Hold on. I might be able to throw the little bombs in there. Hold on.
Feeling real honorary right now.
Look. We got the live applause right now going. All right, man. So listen, guys, once again, thank y'all for joining us. I know we're joking and laughing and all that right now, you know, but here we are again. It doesn't take a lot to turn on the news. It doesn't take a lot to hop on Facebook, hop on Twitter, Instagram to see what's going on. It goes without saying that here we are once again, a moment in history, another black man, same situation. It's hard, bro. Like I'm trying to like figure out a way how to even bring in the conversation, but as I'm talking, it feel like deja vu. Like literally, I just had a moment of deja vu. I'm like, man, I feel like I said that before. And it's because we have. So bro, I'll let you kinda start us off, man. How are you feeling, bro? How are you feeling, man?
You know what? And this is an interesting thought, and this is an interesting place to be in that I've just kind of reflected upon. I'm to the place now where I am having to manufacture my emotions about these situations. Mm-hmm. Having to go, okay, let's get upset so we can talk about it, so we can take action. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, the level of perpetuity, like the level of like continuation and constance for these types of things is so much so to where not only is it desensitizing, and not only is it like numbing, not only is it like expected, but it's to the point now where it's like things are like we as a people are doing different things to try to change the narrative and try to change the realities. Right. But I'm having to manufacture my feelings about it. Because it's, man, I don't feel any type of surprise. I don't even feel the same type of outrage. Mm. Because this is just what they do. You know what I'm saying? So you have to really, really like consciously create your feelings so that you don't just go, they kill black people. That's how they, of course. What do you mean? You know what I mean?
Right.
And that's where I'm at right now. And it's a sad place to be. But I put it this way, truth be to be 100% honest, I could just keep going on with my life. I could just keep going on with my day. Oh, they killed another black person? Damn, that's crazy. Okay, back to Madden. Back to whatever. Right. That's how often it happens. That's how easy and regular it happens.
That's facts, man. That's facts. Yeah, man. I think it's really weird. It's a really weird thing to try to figure out how you're feeling about it. So today, the company I work with, we hold these different sessions. They call it like a healing session specifically for our organization our charter at our job called Black Titans and whatnot. And essentially, we hold these sessions and they just kind of allow us to talk. And it was interesting because the breakout sessions we had, a lot of the conversations were like, I don't even know what to do anymore. Like one of my guys legitimately said, like it's gotten to the point where he don't even jump on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, nothing. He said he can't even look at the videos because he said he was getting to a point where, like you said, where he was starting to feel numb to it, where you see another black man being killed or anybody killed in that situation. Right. And you see him getting killed. And thankfully, the gentleman that was in this situation did not get killed. He's actually alive. That is a blessing in itself. But to his point, he was mentioning, he was just like, yo, it just don't feel like I have any emotion on it because my emotions have always been high and I don't want to put myself back into that place, in shorter words. And it made me think, I was like, wow, have we gotten to a place in society where this is numb to people? How do you feel about that? Would you say that, and you kind of already touched on it, but would you say that, and I'll give you my opinion right after yours, but would you say that it is very easy to become numb in these type of things?
Yeah, of course. Easy is the word. I think we want to tell ourselves how inherently tragic these things are. I think we want to tell ourselves how unacceptable these things are.
Right.
When it comes to my moral compass as a human being, of course, it's unacceptable, it's terrible, it's a tragedy. When it comes to my personal beliefs, of course. But when it comes to who the police are, when it comes to where we are as a country, mm-hmm. and where we have always been as a country, This is how it works here. Think about it this way. We just a couple of weeks ago or a month ago, whatever, there was that big explosion in Beirut? Was it Lebanon?
Lebanon, yeah.
If that would have happened in New York, the whole world would have went crazy.
Facts.
But the idea is wild stuff happens in places that we perceive as radical or less than or less developed or foreign or what have you. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So, like, when a wild virus break out in Africa or when a bomb goes off in the Middle East, it's like in America, it's like, oh, it's terrible, but it's not weird. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So for us to continue to try to feel like, and again, manufacture the feelings that what happens to black men and black people in this country at the hands of the police and at the hands of racists in general is weird, it's an incorrect feeling.
Yeah.
It's not true. It's normal.
Yeah.
There has never been a time where we've been treated any better by police than we are now. So to say that, how dare they, this is terrible. Like, yeah, like, again, when you're talking about your own moral compass, the reality of our country and the reality of the police is George Floyd and Jacob Blake. And that is what they do.
Right.
That's what happens. It's always happened. That is what it is. So it's not like, again, you have to try to manufacture the feelings and the idea that this is terrible.
Facts.
So that's how I feel about it. Yeah, of course it's a numbing thing. Yeah, we're numb because, I mean, it would be weird to see a video of a black man threatening a police officer with a gun and he got away with it.
Right.
It would be that. Think of how viral that would go.
Oh, what?
Because it would be that. Now that would be something weird.
Extremely.
That's not what happens.
You know, it's exactly. It didn't happen. And what's so interesting about it, bro, is like. Okay, so it was weird, bro. I was up late on, and don't quote me on the date. At this point, it's like, dang, what's today?
It's together.
Right?
Yeah.
But when it happened, the actual day it happened, it wasn't blown up. It wasn't, like, everywhere, nothing like that. I so happened to see someone on my timeline who was in the area or from Milwaukee, Wisconsin, just the state of Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. And of course, just by nature, right? Like we're in SoCal. So if something happened in LA, we're probably going to know about it before the rest of the world.
Of course.
Right. It's just how it happens. Right. So that's kind of what happened. So they shared the video. And I remember as I was watching it, I'm in my head, because I'm so used to like stuff being, these type of situations being blown up and everybody knowing about it. I was watching it and I'm like, he's walking to his car. I'm like, they ain't finna shoot this man, is he? Are they? They ain't finna shoot this man. I'm like, there's no way they finna shoot. Boom, 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 boom. And I immediately, bro, turned it off.
And can I was pause like, right there? Hold on. Can we pause?
Yes, please.
When you saw the video, right? Mm-hmm. What was the context in which you clicked to watch it?
I was
like, did you see the title? Like, what did you see?
That's actually a good question. I was curious because this specific person said something along the lines of, I can't believe they're still doing this. So again, in my head, because nothing was, it wasn't on Twitter, it wasn't blown up, it wasn't trending yet. So mm-hmm. I'm like, doing what? What is he talking about? You know what I'm saying? Like, we've mm-hmm. already gotten past George Floyd, and we really haven't, though. That's the thing. Mm-hmm. We really haven't gotten past anything. Right. But we've gotten to a space where it wasn't being talked about as much. So
it's not the hot topic anymore.
It's not the hot topic, exactly. So I'm sitting there, and I click on it, and I'm like, yo, again, going through these feelings, because I personally, and shout out to everybody that's watching right now, Mr. Garcia, my mom's on, my pops. So as I'm watching, I'm like, I don't want to watch this if it's going to be what I think it is. But again, and I'm sorry, I sound like I'm rambling, but I'm really trying to get people to see where I'm going with this. It's all going to come full circle. It happens. I turn it off immediately. I ask my wife, I said, have you heard about a guy getting shot? And she was like, no, what are you talking about? Once again, it was kind of late, I believe, on this day when we was watching it. And I'm like, yo, that's weird. I was like, is it to the point where this is just normal, where people just getting shot? So I thought that. Then I also thought, well, maybe it's old, right? Because people have a way of, yeah. Ain't that bad, bro? Like, I was like, yo, maybe it's an old video. Maybe people haven't seen it yet. Or maybe it's, you know, being shown, maybe it's being shown just like whatever, like, mm-hmm. but still in awe. I'm like, why is this not being talked about? So then after I figured out that it was actually, it just happened, I told my wife, I said, look, we finna go to sleep. And when we wake up, this thing is going to be blown up by everywhere. Yeah, all the right. news outlets, everywhere is going to know about it. I said, just watch. And bro, mm-hmm. I usually text you, right? We text often. Like, I'll send yep. you a link about the NBA and all this stuff. I was like, yo, I'm not going to even send him the link, because I knew that if it hit you in California from a place in Milwaukee, I had right. a tie to it because I knew this person from Milwaukee, right. Wisconsin, right? I was like, if it hit my boy Q out here in California, it's blown up.
Right. That's big enough. Yeah.
It, bro, literally when we woke up, everybody was talking about it. And from then, I was like, here we go again.
Yeah. So some sad implications of just hearing the way you told the story.
Yes.
So you click the link, right, to right. watch the video. You already knew somebody was going to get shot.
Yep.
Like, what is that? Like, well, that's not fair. That's not accurate. That alone is not a valid emotion that we should be having towards police interaction. That's number one. So the fact of another video of a black man getting shot. Okay, let's see how he got shot this time. And right. then, you know what I'm saying, like having the wherewithal to say, well, this doesn't quite look like the rest of them. So maybe they're not gonna shoot him. Maybe they just whoop his, maybe they just beat him down.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, okay, but you know how this is gonna go. You know what I'm saying? Like, exactly. you know what's coming.
Exactly.
That's number one, right?
Yep.
And then like the idea of how blown up is gonna be. Like to think that there could be a video from before, an old video mm-hmm. that we haven't seen, and that's not shocking.
Right.
That means that we, and I have the same feeling, that means that we as individuals are okay with the thought that there are black people that have been killed on video wrongfully, outrageously, and nobody's even seen it yet.
Mm-hmm.
So exactly. It happens so much that there's videos that we don't even get to, we can't even filter through them all.
We can't. And hey, not to stop you right there, but my little bro just actually sent a message in the chat. He said, y'all hear about the guy in Louisiana. Listen, Shannon.
But I guarantee I can tell you what happened to him.
Right, because we
just left that sentence.
That part right there. We about to do this live on air. Shannon, if you got information, I mean, I'm not going to watch a video or nothing like that. I'm literally, if you can see, I'm typing on Google right now, Louisiana guy. Let's see what pulls up.
Yo, shout out to my guy, Imar, who's online as well. What's up with you, bro?
What's up, man? Appreciate you joining us. So I'll be honest, I'm not seeing anything right now, but still, shot 10 times walking away from the police. See, you know what I'm saying? Like, it happens so much that you can't even keep up with it. You know what I mean? Like, and again, I haven't heard about this, and I probably, Shannon, thank you for bringing that to our
attention. Shout out.
Yeah, we really appreciate that. Also, everyone, if you're watching right now, share this link, man. This is a conversation. Once again, you can throw whatever your thoughts are in the chat. We're going to address them on this show. We want this platform to be with you in mind as well. Because, again, like, we just two young men, right? Two husbands, two fathers, just having a conversation about this. So, Q, my bad, bro. Pick up where I left off. My bad, bro.
Also, just for the viewers, if anybody out there knows somebody or if you yourself have an alternative perspective on this, yes, I would love to speak to you. Yes. This is a safe space. I have been literally trained in mediation. I know how to have a respectful conversation. You will not be ostracized or judged. I want to hear from every perspective that there is on this situation, on these types of situations. So please tap in at any point. We can come back around to another episode, what have you, so we can talk about it, whatever. But I would like to see an alternative perspective on this. But no, one thing that I did want to speak about in reference to this, though, mm-hmm. is the political aspect of it, because of course this is going to get politicized. Everything's going to be politicized. Everything's going to be somehow related to politics or what have you. Right. And that's fine. I'm different than some people, because I'm not going to sit up here and try to make it seem like I have any interest in changing the hearts of anybody or changing the actions of anybody. Sure. I personally truly believe that, again, as the Bible tells us, people are wicked, people are broken, people are going to be how they're going to be. I just want there to be some political change so that we have a leg to stand on when these things happen. They're not going to stop happening. We had a pandemic. We had rioting and looting, as we've had from the beginning. We've had pandemic shutdowns. We've had nothing has even slowed police brutality. Let's stop killing people for like a weekend. Nothing. It's right. been nothing. So I don't believe it's going to change. I want to see the political element of it change, so at least we can say, hey, there's some recourse.
It's some recourse.
Do you have any thoughts towards the political element of it? That's I guess a little bit less emotional, a little bit more tangible.
I can say that I was surprised to hear some. I won't go deep into it, but I was pretty surprised to hear some of the opinions from those that are looked at as top of the line in terms of our government.
Surprised or disappointed?
Yeah, that's what it is. Disappointed. I wasn't surprised. You're right. I would have been surprised if it was the other way around, to be quite honest with you. And again, we ain't throwing shade out here. We just kind of putting what we believe is our facts. Right. So, yes, I do believe that. And it's weird because all of this is happening in an election year. That's neither here or there. But
it's an impact.
It is. And I'm going to be honest with you. What I have learned as now an adult, something that I did not, something I didn't really take a good hold of back when Obama was being elected, any presidential election, but now that I'm a father, now that I'm a husband, what I have learned to do is look at who I'm voting for in terms of how are you going to help me as a black man, right? So my decision, and keep I keep it myself, whatever, but my decision, it has been extremely clear. Like, I mean, probably clearer than it probably has ever been. And I'll say this. It just has a lot to do with how you respond to these type of things, right?
Yeah.
Like, you don't have to be in a position where, you know, where you're just going out there on a PR run and just saying something because you feel like you have to. Nobody cares about that. We can actually see when you do that. But yeah. I need to see that it's being addressed and then there's action behind it because that's what's going to matter. And this is actually a great segue into my next point here. If you didn't get a chance to check it out yesterday, we are, and if you don't watch sports, whatever, we are in the middle of the NBA playoffs, probably the weirdest NBA playoffs we've ever seen, but the best basketball I've seen in a while. Let me just say that. My boy Q actually made that point the other night. And so essentially last night we had the Milwaukee Bucks. We had the Oklahoma City Thunder and the Houston Rockets. And then we also had the am I missing somebody, bro? Lakers and
so you had the Bucks playing the Magic.
Right.
You had the Thunder playing the Rockets and the Lakers playing the Blazers.
There you go. Okay. Absolutely. So we had three games going on last night. Just to get you caught up to speed, the games was going to happen. I was actually sitting in my office ready to have the games come on. Like, you know, typically because it's on the East Coast and we're on the West Coast, it comes on like super early. So I'm kind of in the middle of doing my work. And I'm noticing that nobody's on the court. And I'm like, yo, what's going on? So long story short, the Milwaukee Bucks decided not to come out and play the game. They did not forfeit. And actually, what the reports have been is that they were going to put it as they forfeited the game and give the win to the Magic, which I didn't know because the Magic didn't have any idea what was going on. They was on the court. You could see all over ESPN, all these different websites. They was on the court practicing, getting ready for the game.
Shoot around.
Yeah, the whole nine yards, right? And essentially they came out and said, yo, we not playing. They canceled the game. They considered the game as boycotted. And it was pretty much a trickling effect. And as this is happening, I'm like, yo, bro, here we go. Like, here we go. And Q, you made a comment in terms of what it felt like. Can you share that, bro, to the viewers?
You know what? It felt almost exactly like the day that coronavirus stopped the NBA the first time.
Mm-hmm.
It felt almost exactly like that.
Yep.
In the way that the game was going, one team was out, ready to go, and then, boom, it stopped. It was everybody was there in, like, locker room. Like, there's a difference because with the NBA, it's like the information is tiered. You have the players and the insider people who know things. Then you have the announcers and stuff like that that know things. Then you have, like, the reporters and media that know things. And then you finally have us, right? Right. And so any big news that happens, you have at least the NBA insiders that know. So as soon as the broadcast comes on, blah, 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 you know, oh, they say hello, they start it off, whatever. They'll be like, hey, we have some breaking news, and then they'll go into it.
Right.
But it's different when they, the announcers, the referees, everybody is just going and everything is fine and nothing seems out of order. And then people start looking weird, like, what's going on?
Right.
What's going on? Why is the team not out here? Why, you know, why, where are the coaches? What's going on?
Right.
And then you have, then you can start to kind of hear that tone of buying time and that tone of stalling from the announcer. So we're going to have tip off here shortly, you know, start to get a little weird.
Right.
And then the information comes down. Those are the things that are bigger and more groundbreaking than anything else, because you can tell it's not something that was planned or something that was approved or nothing. It's just out of left field.
Facts.
And again, that's what made it feel similar to when the coronavirus happened with the Jazz versus the Thunder back, was it March?
Yeah.
So this year, this year has not been kind to the NBA.
It has not, bro. And it's funny, bro. It's not funny, but it's interesting because it happened on the day that Colin Kaepernick kneeled 4 years ago. You can't plan that type of stuff, bro. You know what I'm saying? Like, nobody thought that, like, something like this big was going to happen again. Nothing like that. You know what? We just got a comment in here. I can't post it.
I was looking at that as well.
Yeah, let's. So I'm going to read it live. Coming from my mom. What's up, Mom? It's good to have healthy conversations about this. What are we going to do to help bring some type of solution change that is positive together? Healthy conversations is key, and this is awesome. You two young men playing here is one part. Just praying that the anger for what has been done, which is wrong, don't be the fuel of leading the way. The Bible says, be angry and sin not. Amen. And we should be angry about what's happening, but what we do after we feel the anger, ? Preferably healthy thought out ways of coming together to stand against this. Love you all, and praying for your generation to be wise. Amen. Hey, that deserves some claps. Hold on, let me throw the claps on here. You know what I mean? Hold on. Yes. Amen. I need to get a hallelujah on here as well. But yes, 100%. I agree. Like, there's a way around it. I mean, it's a way to react to it. It's a way to react to it. And people like you and me, bro, and we made this point today on the conversation I had just a few hours ago, is that it's easy for us to feel numb. It's easy for us to just be like, yo, I'm good on this. But that is exactly what they want. That's what the opposition want. That's what the evil side, whatever you want to look at it, that's what they want. They want us to say, I'm good. I'm not going to fight the fight. But I believe I'm a man of prayer. I'm a man of faith. I believe that we are put in this earth, on this earth for a reason, bro. And like, conversations like this is just one part of that. It's how we can make that change right now. Like, you know, we on our way to being millionaires. I just called it live on air. You dig?
We're going
to
play this back one day.
We on our way to being millionaires. So, you know, we'll be able to make change more directly in different ways. But I think for anybody that's wondering, what can I do? And we're going to go back to the NBA in just a second. But for anybody that's wondering, what can I do? The first thing you should do is just look around your room, and not specifically, right? Not just metaphor. Look around your room and say, what do I have? And I'm going to just use this, right? So if that just looks like, yo, I'm a grocery store clerk, right? Maybe you're watching this and you're a white man. Maybe you're watching this and you're a black man. And you're a grocery store clerk or just somewhere that interacts with people on a daily. I would just show them that love, man. Like, no matter what their color is, no matter who they are, just show them that love. Hey, man, how you doing? Yeah, great. You know what I'm saying? Like, that goes such a long way, bro. Like, I just picked up a sandwich right before this, and the customer service of this place that I never went to was incredible. It wasn't black women behind the counter. It was some white women. And I was like, yo, like, they were like, hey, how are you? Like, you know, and I'm just like, they don't even know that the way that they are treating me, because I'm watching how you treat that man that's in front of me and how you're going to treat me when I come right behind him. Right. Little stuff like that is some people don't even know that they're doing it. So I'm like, if you got love in your heart, man, that's one way that you can actually cause change. Just giving that love out in the open, bro. What you got to say about that, bro? I know you more Malcolm than Martin. You told me that before.
You know it. And dang it, my answer is going to be more Malcolm than Martin.
Uh-oh.
No, it's multifaceted. It's multifaceted. The first thing I want to say about that, because again, we are of the generation that is more overtly and loudly angry about the things that we go through. One thing I do want to say is that these things that happen to us happen often. The things that the police brutality, those types of things, they happen often and they happen too often and what have you. But I don't believe that is representative of the outside world. Yeah. Most people you're going to come in contact with have the love of Jesus within them, regardless of what they believe, regardless of who they believe in or who they pray to or if they pray at all. Most people are good people. Most people.
I believe that.
Most of the problems that we face, most of the issues and most of the negativity and most especially on the level of fatal violence comes from institutions and systems. Mm. That's what the problem. That's what the biggest issues come from. What happens is good people go into racist, evil, whatever, devilish systems, and it converts them into that.
Mm.
Which is why you don't see nearly as many people killing people for racism and things like that. It happens a lot, but not nearly as much as you do just regular police brutality. Which is why people have, which is why police brutalize their own people. They brutalize white people even when they protest for the wrong thing, because you have been converted to through an evil system. You've been converted into something else.
That's right.
So I truly don't believe that individual human beings are the problem. It's the systems that are put in place that are more powerful, that cannot be controlled by man, that cannot be controlled by love, that cannot be controlled by good intentions, that cause the most problem. That's number one. Number two, as black people specifically, we have to, and this is just my opinion, ignore it if you want to, we have to stop allowing mainstream media, white people, whoever, to confuse our defense and our taking up arms and our defending ourselves and our investment in our own well-being and our own self-preservation as anger.
Come on.
It is not anger. Buy yourself a gun. Keep yourself safe. Put yourself in safe positions. Protect your shoot people that want to harm you if you have to.
Come on.
The problem that we have as black people when it comes to dealing with racism, when it comes to dealing with police brutality, we often are not around long enough to actually tell our side. He was peacefully protesting and now he's dead. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
We as a people, especially as an individual, if you want to protest peacefully, absolutely do that. Stay alive.
They are feeding us
peace. They are feeding us anti-anger so that they can kill us. Mm. I can be very, 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 I can, matter of fact, put it, I can be more peaceful now that I have my guns, because I know I have something that will deter the anger and the malice that you are trying to perpetuate. Mm. You want to be angry. You want to be violent.
Mm.
And when I respond, whichever way I respond, I will be vilified for it. If I don't respond and let you kill me, I'm dead, I lose. You die, you lose, in my mind. If I respond with violence, then you have the situation where you have with all protesters being blamed for looting and rioting.
Hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Even if the thought of protection is presented for a black man, you are a threat. Which is why Jacob Blake, everywhere is plastered that he had a knife in his car. Because black people are not allowed to protect themselves.
Yeah.
Whatever. I'll be glad to be judged by 12 rather than be carried by 6. You're going to have to judge me, because I'm not going to let you kill me. I'm going to tell my side of the story, whether it be from behind bars or what have you. You can stop letting people kill you.
Hmm.
That's outside of the realm of racism, outside the realm of whatever. I tell my wife, I tell my kids, you don't allow nobody to take you away from here. Then you lose. No matter what recourse that person has to suffer through, no matter what consequences, albeit that police officers are probably not going to suffer consequences anyway. But the reality is, if you die, you lose. So don't confuse self-preservation and defense with anger. I'm not angry, but I got to be dangerous. I can't be safe anymore. Like Nip said, I can't be safe anymore. I got to be dangerous. Now I'm a very dangerous man because this is a very dangerous world.
Mic drop. Nah, I'm kidding. Listen, that's, I mean, here's the thing, right? Like, that's a really, I think people that's watching this and listening, whether they admit it or not, probably agree with that, right? Like, my brother will say the same thing. Shout out to my big brother, Willis. He'll be here over the weekend.
What's up?
But I'll say this. There's a few different things I want to say. Number one, as a man, I'm going to protect my family, period, right? That's, and I'm pretty sure I know Q. That's exactly what he's saying. As a man, I am going to protect my family, period. You know what I'm saying? If you cause harm to my family, as a man, I'm going to protect my family.
By any means.
And that's, you know what I'm saying? Like, there's no, like, there's not many ways you can look at that, because the statement, it is what it is.
Right.
This man and any man that says otherwise, that's between you and God. Hey, what the man said God, I forgot. I was watching a video yesterday, super off topic, but one of the mayors was like, with this hurricane going on, he said, what you say? They gonna stay? They gonna stay? He said, listen, if you stay, don't be calling us. He said, if you stay, you're gonna be here. It's gonna be you and God. That's
yeah.
but no, like, but again, bro, that statement I agree with in a lot of different ways. And I know that some people may take it as anger or like, you know, you being violent, or it's not that. Again, it's just the protection as a man. That's the thing that we have to do for our families. Now we got that out the way. Also, as a man, I feel that it's important for me to let my kids know how to interact when they're in a situation with cops.
Yep.
Right. Shout out to AD. He just said, we should be strapped, but you better have your permit and you better not pull it out on a gun. Or I'm sorry, pull out on police. You will die for sure. Listen.
Wouldn't it be nice if that was the case? Wouldn't it be nice if pulling a gun out on police is what got you killed?
Listen,
there would be so many safe black people if that were the case.
Yo, so listen, he goes right into the point that I'm saying, is that this right here, we have to teach our young people, our kids, our cousins, you know, we got to teach them how to interact, because I believe that I'd much rather you get home than to fight a fight that you're not equipped to fight.
Right.
Here's what I mean by that. If we know that as a black man or as a black person, period, black, brown, whatever, if you know that cops are not always good people, I'm gonna just say that. Cops are not always good people, right? We have to know that it's not our job to try to fight them right then and there. That's what I believe, because I'd much rather get home and fight that fight the right way, rather through the justice system, telling my story. Like I was just telling someone today, I had a situation where I was with my step pops. Shout out my step pop, Joe. God rest your soul. We love you. We miss you. But we was in a situation where we got pulled over. And long story short, we're in an area where it's known for racism, and the cops had no reason to pull us over, didn't tell us why, told us to get out the car, put my pops in handcuffs, had them sit in the car, still not telling us what's going on. And I was young, and I was like maybe 16, 17, hothead. I was just like, yo, why y'all pull us over? You know what I'm saying? Nobody told me how to interact with a cop in that situation. I'm just like, you just put this good man in a car or in the back of your car with handcuffs while I'm sitting on the side of the road cold, and no one's telling us what's going on. Y'all searching our bags, all type of crazy stuff. And I'm like, yo, what? Like, what's going on? Like, can y'all tell us what's going on? Who are you talking to? Who are you talking to? You got a problem? Like, bro, like, it turned into a situation real quick. And right then and there, I felt a sense of like, William, be quiet. And I think my stepdad even said, just relax, we're going to get through this, right? And from that moment on, I always remember that in the sense of I don't want my anybody that I'm mentoring, because we don't got sons right now, right? Mm-hmm. But we're going to mentor young men, and I've mentored young men before. I don't want them to be so enraged at what's going on that when they see a cop and they get pulled over and they in that situation, they are so blind to let me get home that they just like thinking of George Floyd, thinking of Trayvon Martin, thinking about all these people. So the cop could just be like, hey, license and registration. I ain't giving you my license and registration. What you mean, bro? Like what you put, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. We got to teach our people how not to escalate these situations, because the truth of the matter is sometimes these situations don't even have to be escalated for a cop to still out act outside of his line of duty, period. Right. Right? So I'm not going to put more sprinkle on that to make the situation hotter than what it already is before I even open my mouth. So I guess I say all that to say, we just got to do what we can do, man. I know that ain't got nothing to do with what I just said, but
no, well, here's the thing. I think that what you're saying is a very necessary element to be taught. I think a lot of times in the black community, one element of that gets lost in translation is that, especially with our hot-headed generation, it sounds like submission. Like, just do what they say and they'll leave you alone. That very well may or may not be the case.
Right.
But the idea is to humanize everybody. And when I say that, I don't say that from a point of empathy. I don't. What I mean is you have to understand who and what you're dealing with. Police mm-hmm. officers are not, as they are professed to be, they're not law enforcement.
That's right.
They are there to assess and make snap decisions about the lawfulness of whatever you're doing.
Right.
Nobody has ever in the history of America been convicted or tried or sentenced by a police officer. Right. You're arguing with somebody who does not have the power to convict you of anything.
That's facts.
I didn't do anything. Well, so what? Even if you did, this is not the person to be telling that to.
That's what I'm saying right there. Come on, bro.
So if you have a clear understanding that you're dealing with a peasant of the criminal justice system, you're not gonna, you should no longer have the will or need to argue. Okay, you say I did? Okay, fine. Mistaken identity, cool. Take me to jail. Right now. Take me to jail right now. Let's go right now. Absolutely. I have no problem. Take me to jail. Because once I get there and I get my lawyer and you realize you have the wrong guy and I wasn't even there and blah, blah, blah.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Now, that is the best that we can do in the system that we have. Every time this conversation comes up, you have white people. I'm just going to generalize. You have white people or the people that are against us that say, see, if you just go ahead and comply, then it'll be okay.
I hear that all the time.
Which is not true. Then you have black people who are super radical about the situation and say, what about the Central Park Five? They didn't do anything. They complied. They went with the police, and look what happened to them.
Right.
There are going to be radical examples of both sides.
It is. Exactly. But that's for anything in life. You know what I mean?
With anything. With right. anything. But if you understand that the police are not your friends, they have no interest in your innocence. They have no interest in your innocence. They're not happy you didn't do it. They're upset about it. They're mad they were wrong. So the idea is to shorten your interaction with the police by any means necessary. If that means give me my ticket so I can go home, great. If that means arrest me so I can go deal with a rational judge, great. Right. Whatever you got to do so you can shorten this interaction, because this is the only person in the criminal justice system from top to bottom with a gun.
That's right.
So all I got to do is get past you and I'm fine because I'm innocent.
Right. Come on.
Then you move into the idea of knowing the law, having a lawyer present when you talk to people, blah, blah, blah. Like, that's all individual. And the more you know, the better.
That's right.
But think about it if he wasn't a cop. Think about it if you was just in the hood.
Mm-hmm.
Are you going to argue with the nigga with the gun? No.
You're not.
You don't want to talk to him.
No.
You don't go outside when he's outside.
Huh. Come on.
That's the person that the police are personifying.
Come on.
Now, there again, there are situations where my rights are more important than my safety in this situation. If I have to go out and protest because of George Floyd, because it's what I believe in, you're doing that. But what you're saying is, I'm going to go put myself in danger in hopes to try to change something. You're not going to be able to claim, well, I was just peacefully protesting. They don't care. They don't want peace. They want power. Mm-hmm. They don't go hand in hand. So you have to understand who you're dealing with. And it's not to submit to them so much as it is to stop arguing with fools, stop arguing with idiots. It's not worth it. They're not in control of nothing. They don't know nothing. Move on. If you can. If you can.
If you
chances are, if you're dealing with an a-hole cop, you're not going to be able to control it anyway. Do what you can. Get home. Do what you can.
Real. Real. And that's the main gist of everything. If you're listening, that's the main gist of this whole thing, man, is that we understand that it's too big of a situation and the stakes are too high for you to go into the situation one way or the other. Right. And what I mean by that is because I do believe that there's good cops.
There are good people that are cops.
Yeah, there you go. There's good people that are cops. I like how you put that. That's a fact, right? That's a fact. However, there are a lot of them that are not good. You know what I mean?
It only takes a few.
It only takes a few. And you have to know that. So I'd much rather know how to handle a situation. Hey, officer, how you doing? Okay, license and registration. Can I go ahead and get my license? You know, like, knowing how to, like, interact throughout these situations where if you're good cop, if you're bad cop, I'm going to give you every reason not to have an escalation. I have been pulled over numerous times. I can say this from experience. You know what I'm saying? Like, me and my boy, Jeremy, if you're watching this, my boy Jeremy Watkins, when we had first moved to California years ago, we was on our way to work. It was like 4 a.m. We was driving through Chino Hills, bro. You know where Chino is. You know what type of area that is.
Yep.
We was running through Chino Hills. I was in my 2001 Grand Am with 3 good tires. I tell everybody, 3 good tires. It never had a 4th tire, bro. Like, it was always a bad 4th tire. But anywho, we riding. It's like 4 or 5 a.m. It's the sun ain't all the way up. We get pulled over. We literally, like, right down the street from the job. The cop comes up to us, immediately license and registration. Bro, before he got there, I turned the car off. I put the keys on the dashboard, and my hands was on the steering wheel. And my boy was like, and my boy Jeremy, man, he was already, he already knew what to do. He was praying. We was straight. They had another cop come on the other side of us, all this. They went back, did they thing, and came back and was like, we're sorry. We thought you were somebody else. We thought that this was a different situation. Whatever he thought that we were is what they said. We thought that your car was related to what we just got buzzed in. You're free to go. But I'm thinking to myself, bro, it's been almost 30 minutes, and you have not. Like, it don't take that long, bro. You know what I'm saying? Whoever you looking for, you can go back to your car, run your report, buzz in who just buzzed you, and get the information that you need to realize that I ain't the one.
Right.
Bro, I literally told dude, he said, we apologize. You guys can get on your way. I said, hey, thank you. Here's the thing. We late to work now. He was like, I apologize, man. Let me go ahead and, what did he say? Like, write us a note or whatever the case was. It was super corny. But I say all that to say that situation could have turned quick.
Right.
Because I was already in the mind frame of Mike Brown just got killed. Right. Like, all these different things. And here I am in this situation where I am being looked at as somebody who I'm not. You know what I mean? And, like, I just knew at that moment it was much better for us to thank God and keep it moving.
Mm-hmm. Self-preservation, man.
Self-preservation.
That's the word of the day there. But self-preservation combined with knowledge and combined with effort. Because what you're talking about is a systematic thing. The fact that we don't really know what the process is for mistaken identity for a police officer is a crime. That's not fair. We pay taxes. Why shouldn't I know how long this should take?
Right.
Why does that have to be a secret?
Right.
Not in a way that of hostility of saying, hurry it up, but protect and serve, right? Like, why is policing a secret?
Yeah, it shouldn't be that difficult, right? Like, and you see a lot of situations that do turn left because, you know, all this anger is built up. So I'll say this. I know we had to, before we started, we said we were only going to do 30 minutes and, we at 53, it's cool. It's good conversation. I hope that y'all, by the way, are enjoying these conversations. We just talking, man. We just two regular guys, fathers with two girls. We both got two girls. And I think we both have different opinions that see the world. Honestly, no matter how the opinion may look different, we really see it the same way.
Right.
So that's really the kind of the metaphor of this whole conversation. I want you, if you're still on with us, I can't see how many people are still on at the moment. I want you to throw something in the chat. It can be three words. It can be just a sentence. I just want to see how you're feeling. How is this conversation doing for you guys? Is there anything you want us to talk about? And we appreciate you joining, but as they go ahead and start putting things in the comments, it was something else I was going to bring up. Go ahead, brother.
Just as another plug, since we did this the first time, I have now streamlined all my social media. So on Instagram and Twitter at Agent, A-G-E-N-T, underscore 220.
Yeah.
Agent 220.
Yeah.
Instagram and Twitter. Find me. Continue the conversation with me. You know, let's chop it up. We can talk. Again, all perspectives are welcome.
All perspectives are welcome. All perspectives of welcome. And that's what the When We Relate podcast is for. We say it all the time, but it's a place for people like you and me just to have conversations. I don't care what you look like. I don't care what you sound like. I don't care what you smell like. If you're coming into the studio, just, you know, like, spray something around you so we ain't gonna
shine bodies.
The Axe spray, the old 13-year-old I'm in the gym, but
yeah, I ain't shot, baby. Spray.
You know what I'm saying? But no, man, we welcome a lot of conversations. And one thing I will say is that who you see and the type of people that we are and how we have our conversations, that's how you're going to get them, no matter who around. We're going to talk the same way. I think we owe a lot to just life experiences. I can speak for myself. I owe a lot to life experiences that got me to this position specifically, that has allowed me to have this type of outlook on life. And not perfect, man. Not perfect whatsoever. Still figuring it out. And that's actually what I was going to mention is that one thing that I'm loving with the NBA is that
bringing it back.
They are definitely, we won't stay on too long, I promise, guys. They are actually putting pressure on the owners to make something happen. And because it's easy. Like, we saw it just happen with George Floyd. You can give us Black Lives Matter shirts. You can paint it on the floor. You can do all these different things. But the truth of the matter is, change, we can feel it when it's happening. Like, for example, in the tech industry, something that a lot of black tech experts, I just made that word, something that a lot of people that's in the tech industry that are black, brown, Latino, whatever. One thing that they're saying is, hey, you know, thank you for allowing us to express ourselves, but how about we get some people that look like us in them executive board meetings? How about we have, you know, a black person that's overseeing a large piece of this company. Because historically speaking, if you put somebody like us in charge, we gonna get the job done. We just have a different grind mentality. That's just what we do, right? Like, I'm in a position right now where I do a lot of project management. That's my role. I'm a project manager for a pretty large tech company. I'm not afraid to say it. I love where I'm at. My boy Q used to work there too. He got him a he done moved on up.
Did a little something. I just made a move. Just a little power move. Nothing.
A little power move, man. A little power. Hey. A power move from a power move. I ain't mad at it. But every day I'm challenged with just saying, hey, you know, I'm gonna be the best at what I can do because I want to be one of those voices that when I say something, that it's not just a consideration, but it's like, yo, how can we actually make what you're saying work? And I challenge my people out there too. And my mom actually brought up that good point is it's cool to have an opinion. But when I was a manager at the last startup that I worked at, I used to always tell my people, I want you to think of three ways that we can get to your question or an answer for your question. You don't have to have the answer, but I just want you to think of ways that we can get there, even if it's not the answer. And that's powerful because sometimes these folks don't know what to do. Like I saw today, Chris Paul got a call from Michael Jordan, the only black owner in the NBA. And he asked them, what do y'all want us to do? Like, what do you want us to do? You don't think Chris Paul had the answers? Chris Paul was probably, you know, he's the president of the NBA union, player union, right?
Player association.
So you already know these are conversations they always had. So he was prepared. And whatever that answer looked like, now he can put it on a plate to say, not only did I tell you and express what we're going through, I also gave you a solution to honestly show that this is real change. So that's something that I'm challenging even myself, man. I'm trying to think, like, if I was in those positions, what would I tell somebody? Like, what's the Steve Ballmer? Like, if Steve Ballmer called me and was like, yo, Will, you know, we're trying to figure out a way, man, to like, we're like, I'm all the way with you. Like, bud, what can we do? I want to be able to tell them, like, I recommend that you do this, this, and this. And let's start there. Right. Because we can't figure all this out in one day. We can't even figure it out maybe in 1 year, but we can work towards it. And this moment in history will allow us to, if we take it and say we're no longer just expressing, we're putting actions in place and we finna make this happen. Yeah. My boy Q, what you got, bro?
I got one last thing to say, and it's just a juxtaposition of what you said. It's definitely not a retort or a or against what you said.
Yes, sir.
I just want to implore my people that, especially in times of racial bias or racial divide or what have you, please don't be afraid to push the ball back into their court and say, you figure it out. You broke it, fix it.
Right.
If Steve Ballmer called me, if Mark Cuban called me, say, hey, man, we want, you know, my organization wants to support Black Lives Matter, you know, I was like, oh, that's wonderful. You're a billionaire. Figure it out. You figured out how to make $1 billion.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
What if I told, you know what I'm saying? What if I told Mark Cuban, hey, man, if you don't figure out how your organization can make a severe or hefty impact in the Black Lives Matter movement, we're going to take all your money. You think he wouldn't figure it out?
He'll figure it out. For sure.
We have 30 NBA owners and then another 16 NFL teams, however many MLB teams there are, however many politicians there are, however many congressmen, however many presidents there have been since we've been alive, vice presidents, cabinet members, secretaries of this, that, and the third. And y'all asking me, no, figure it out. Y'all broke it, y'all fix it.
Hey.
Now, again, I'm all for thinking of ways and things and demands and things that you want, but do not let a lack of totality in your thinking stop you from demanding better.
I hear you.
That's all I'm saying.
That's it.
Hey, fix it.
Yeah.
All right? Hey, stop police from killing black people. Well, how? That's up to you. Fix it. You're the president. You're the governor. Fix it.
Right.
Fix it. Because if I fix it, you're not even gonna make me nothing. I'm not even gonna get a title out of it. I'm not gonna be the designated secretary of fixing stuff.
No. I agree. I do agree in that. And once again, not disagreeing with you in any way, but we agree.
It can be both. That's the point. It can be both.
It can be both. Exactly. That was my point, is that it can be both. Because on one side of the equation, you can say, you know, our conversations can advance in the sense of, yo, let's try to figure out something to, because that's what people like Always. LeBron James, that's like Always. People, you know, they try, right?
And things work. They're doing good. They're doing things that work.
Exactly. Things are working. But then also, once again, until that conversation happens, until we have something for you, once again, if you're in any position of change, don't wait for that position or that answer. Like, don't let that be the reason why you don't get started now. Exactly. Because some people will be like, because I don't want people to listen to this and be like, okay, cool. I'll go get my black buddy, or I'll go speak to you guys about this and we'll figure it out, you know. But you're busy, your schedule is all over the place, you don't got time. So a year from now, when we say, hey, what's the progress? Oh, I just didn't have time to speak with them. Let's put something on the books. So it's like, you can't necessarily wait. You have to, and it goes back to the point that I made earlier in this conversation. You have to figure out what you can do now.
Look around you.
Just look around you, because it's not that hard. There is, I promise you, you can get started today. What them infomercials be saying?
Don't wait.
Don't wait.
Get yours today.
Get yours today. But wait, there's more.
Yeah.
If you come and talk to us, you'll get even more. Times two, right? Like,
right.
So yeah, real quick, guys, I'm gonna play this quick video from the other night with Kenny Smith. I thought it was interesting how he walked off the set. You probably saw it, but I had it queued up for a while and I did not play it. So before we hop off, I'm gonna play this real quick. I do not own copyright material or whatever the word is, however you got to say it on Facebook.
We don't own it. We don't own any of this.
We don't own none of this. Here you go. Yep.
This is a landmark day in the history of American sport. NBA teams refusing to play their scheduled games in protest of racial injustice in this country. Their boycott in Orlando, a direct result of a shooting which took place in Kenosha, Wisconsin, 40 miles from Milwaukee, where on Sunday, 29-year-old Jacob Blake was shot 7 times in the back. Players and coaches have been vocal in voicing their outrage and disgust, and today made a resounding and unified statement by refusing to take the court.
Language of what's going on, and I don't know if I'm even appropriate enough to say it, what the players are feeling and how they're feeling. And I haven't talked to any of the players. I'm just, but like coming in, even like driving here and getting into the studio, hearing calls and people talking. And for me, I think the biggest thing now is to kind of, as a black man, as a former player, I think it's best for me to support the players and just not be here tonight.
And figure out what happens after that. Yeah, I just don't feel equipped to do that.
And I respect that.
Yeah. So I don't want to play the whole video, but you got the point, man, right? Kenny Smith wanted to show his support to what's going on. And please, if you're listening to this, please, this isn't a moment to judge, man. Let's not judge how people are react in a certain ways, because the truth is not everybody can have a conversation like me and my boy Q can have, or not everybody has, spiritual people around them that you can gather around and pray with. Like, some people don't even know how to pray, right? Like, some right. people just know how to react. Whatever react looks like based on the last time somebody reacted that looked like them. So please, 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 please do not judge any of this. I implore you, I what's the word I'm looking for, bro? I challenge you in okay. more ways than not. I challenge you to again, just understand that we're in the moment, that we're tired, that we're sick of it, right? And if you want to be a good ally, the way to be a good ally is, again, let's not do this double standard stuff. Well, you should do this, should that. Nah, man, that's not how you do it. That's not how you do it. Imagine if you did something wrong in your life and the first thing somebody said to you was, well, you shouldn't have been doing it anyway. Come on, man. Are we really in a society now where we can't learn from our mistakes? Is it really that you can make one thing, whatever, however you looked at it, whether it was a mistake or not, that you are judged by death, you know, rather it's physically or by the world and with words because of one thing? So that's all I got to say. And it's so much more, but hopefully that makes sense. Q, you got anything you want to close with, bro?
Let's keep the conversation going. Obviously not on this platform today because we've been here for a minute, but let's keep the conversation going. At this point, this is a rare opportunity we have to be thankful and positive about social media. It's hard for these things to hide. It's hard for these things to go away. You know, we get to see that protests are continuing to happen throughout the country because of things like Twitter, because they're not going to continue to cover it. I mean, you can't get ratings from the same thing for, you know, they've been protesting for Breonna Taylor for months. You know, you can't get ratings for that every day. So they're not going to continue to cover it every day. So thank goodness for that we have that platform. Continue to use your platform for your good. I would say focus on balance, man. Balance, protecting yourself, protecting your family, and refining your ideologies and refining your thoughts and your moral compass, and then giving a little bit of yourself to the outside world. You know what I'm saying? Giving a little bit of your opinion on Twitter, things like that. It's because it's different. I can't be the same person. I can't be as pragmatic and as emphatic about protecting and my efforts and things like that on Twitter in the real world as I am at home. All my efforts are going to be towards protecting my family. But I do have thoughts and efforts to put forth towards change. You know what I'm saying? I do have ideas about change. So I'll definitely put forth those things as well. But it's two sides of the same coin. So I would say continue to do those types of things. Be active. Continue to be active. And even if your activity is intentional self-care, unplugging, that's an action. You know what I'm saying? I forget it. I'm not doing this today. I'm not watching another video. I'm not talking about it no more. That's intentional. You know what I'm saying? That's an action. Continue to be active. The last thing you want to do in this situation is sit, because this is a hellacious situation. You don't, when you, what the saying go? How's the saying go? When you find yourself in hell, keep going. So just be active. Move. Keep going. Paying attention. You know what I'm saying? Being compassionate. I will say it. Find Jesus. Find God. Pray. Get closer. I said it. I said the word Jesus. I said the word Jesus.
Try Jesus.
Yep.
Not me. Because I throw hands.
This country loves to get ambiguous and shaky when it comes to God and higher power. Jesus. I said Jesus.
Yeah. Say his name. You heard real talk. We ain't. Listen. We are who we are. We not ashamed of it. Again, we got to be – we man first before anything else. And when we say man, that's also saying we're man of God, right? So we're fathers, we're husbands. So we going to do what we got to do to ultimately make sure that the seeds that we leave behind are in good health and are, you know, in good position so they can continue to fight, because – one day my daughter gonna be sitting right here. I was gonna bring her in, but one day she's probably gonna be sitting down talking to somebody. And my prayer is that when she gets to this moment in age, that she can say 20 years ago or whatever the case may be, this happened in American history. And, you know, I don't want people to forget that we used to have to go through that. Right. Yep. Where now it's a thing of the past. Like one day. You truly did come from something that was horrible. And I am now a 18, 20 year old young lady. Right. Speaking from my daughter's point of view, 18, 20 year old young lady. And my future is better than what it would have been years ago.
Right.
It's what we want, man. We ain't doing all this for nothing. So listen, we've been on forever. My East Coast folks, I know y'all like, look, I'm already in bed. It's 11:56 Central Standard Time, 10:56 And of course, our time, 8:56 So we appreciate y'all. And I probably just got that time wrong, right?
I think you're good. No, you lit.
Okay.
I think.
Listen, we appreciate y'all rocking with us. We hate that we have to have this conversation again. This ain't the first time we talked about this, but.
And this is a new show.
And it's a new show. but it's necessary. It's absolutely necessary. We're going to continue to do what we can do to, you know, bring change in this ever-changing world. I, again, challenge you to do the same. And closing remarks, if you got anything that you want to talk about, our next episode, we have fun too now. Look, we be having fun now too. You know what I'm saying? If you want to talk about NBA 2K, whatever the conversation is, you're not seeing me on the sticks. I'm just saying that.
He's talking to y'all. He's
look, not talking nah, to me. Bruh. Uh-uh. He's that camera. Talking, I know you see that finger pointing at you, my boy.
No,
that's to the viewers. But nah, man, we appreciate y'all rocking. I won't stall y'all no time longer. To all my Facebook Live people that's been watching us live, thank you so much. And if you're watching or listening to this later down the line, we hope that this conversation helps you. And shoot us a message. We're regular people. Hit me up on Twitter, Instagram, @will_inspire. I'd love to hear your opinion. And not just on this, but just on life. What you going through in life? Let's talk about it. Somebody else may actually benefit from it, right? This is the When We Relate podcast. Big Q.
Thank you, Max. Again. Thank you again.
Appreciate you, my boy. Man.